Brought to the church at a Sunday school session in Philadelphia when we were there, and recently, just thinking about it recently, I thought this will be a good fitting thought for tonight as we're looking at what we're trying to do with the teenagers, even what the purpose of these trips are and the point of why we go on some of these trips. And so we'll just look at the first few verses briefly, talk about them as we go through, and then look at some of the verses later in the chapter also. So Joshua 4 is when they're crossing over the Jordan River. They're finally taking their promised land. Verse 3 says, "And command ye them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones." So while they're crossing, one from each tribe is going to pick up a stone. And verse 19, skip on down to verse 19. They do this. The people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake to the children of Israel, saying, "When your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until ye were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea when he dried up before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it's mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever." Let's pray. Father, thank you for the young people who seem to be catching a glimpse of who you are, and the same God that their youth pastor has served is the same God that their pastor has served, and the man that led him to the Lord has served, and the same God that we as Baptists have served for generations. And even before there were Baptists, there's been a generation of Christian who has always held to the faith and who has always served you as the timeless God who transcends the Middle Ages and transcends all of American history and world history. God, thank you for being that God for us and to us. And I pray that every Christian is committed to you in that way. We're thankful for the time in your word together tonight. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Way back, I think it was a Thanksgiving, we had our family from Tucson over to our house, and we had just gotten a brand new rope hammock, the big kind that stretched out. You could lay two people side by side. It had the wooden bar across the top, and it was the rope kind of interwoven hammock. And we were out there testing our new hammock. It's hanging over this hill. If you've been up to Pastor's house, it's kind of where the fire pit is now. And we thought, hey, this is a really fun hammock, and we're swinging on it. My brother has the brilliant idea. He said, "We need to launch somebody in this hammock so that we can get one full revolution around this hammock. Who could we get to be our test subject on this?" And I think my uncle was there, my dad was there, these men who are supposed to be the protectors in my life, and my older brother, who should have known better. I was probably 9 or 10 years old. He must have been 14 years old. And all their heads point down at me, like, "Ryan, you can do it." And I didn't know any better. I'm 9 years old, 10 years old, and I think, yeah, this will be great. We'll make history with this. And so I lay down on my back, and I start interweaving my arm, my right arm into the hammock, and my left arm into the rope hammock, and I'm kind of locked in here, and I get my right foot locked into the ropes, and I'm secure, man. My left leg is secure in this rope hammock, and they're like, "All right, physics tells us that if we push hard enough, we'll go all the way around. The centrifugal force will hold you in the top of that hammock. You'll come all the way around and land like we started here. We'll be here to catch you. There's three big, strong men here to push you, and it'll be great. It will be fine." I said, "Yeah, this should be great. This will be fine. Physics. We'll go all the way around, and this is going to be great." So my dad and my uncle and my brother get on the side of the hammock, and I'm all strapped in like spread eagle, like I'm laying on a cross here. And they're going, "One, two." Then I go, wait, my shoe is slipping. Hang on a second. I readjust my foot. "Are you guys sure about this?" Yes, I'm sure it will be fine." Okay, here we go. One, two, and a couple more false alarms, and finally we get, okay, I'm psyched up. Here we go. We're going all the way around now, all the way around. You have to push hard, all three of you release at the same time, right? Yes, yes, yes. I'm sure it will be fine. One, two, three. And my dad and my uncle and my brother push with all of their might. And here I am, 9-year-old skinny Ryan, strapped spread eagle into this rope hammock. I'm thinking this is going to be great. I feel the G-forces, and I'm coming all the way around this circle, and I'm strapped into this hammock, and I'm feeling it. Boy, they push nice and strong. I'll get all the way to the top of that arc, and all my momentum just dies all of a sudden, right at the top of that hammock. I mean, we're taller. I'm above my dad's head, and he's 6 feet tall, and so I'm spread all the way over here. All my momentum dies. And I'm facing the ground now at this point, strapped into a hammock. And I'm watching that ground come up fast. And here I go, my arms stay, my legs stay. And right, the only thing that stretches is my back cracking and my belly goes smack into the ground. Have you ever shot a snail or a frog out of a slingshot? You know, you put him in the slingshot and you shoot him against the wall and he goes splat. That's a fun pastime of ours. That's kind of how I felt on the ground. I went splat on the ground. I lost the air. Finally, when I caught my breath, it's just us. We're just family, you know. I cried. I'll admit it. And I'm crying there as a 9-year-old boy, and I'm weeping, and I'm thinking, you told me it would be okay. I thought this would be fine. And they're going, well, we thought so too, you know. I guess that's why we had you in the hammock and not us. That's why you're the test dummy, and this is us being the mad scientists here. I'm sure it will be fine, but I guess it wasn't fine after all. And I thought, you know, it hurt to feel the pain, but boy, the betrayal is what really hurt deep. That's the emotional scar that I carry around with me today, still today. That's why I am how I am today. So I think that's not something that we want to put test subjects through things. We do that with our little brothers, and I understand that, and that's okay. But it's not something that we want to do as a general, we don't want to be the test subjects for life. We don't want to be the test dummies for life. We don't want to be the lab rats for life. And when we're talking about new ideas, they're always going to be new to somebody. But I don't want those ideas tested on me. I'd rather you test the new chemicals on animals and horses and not humans, you know. I put new shampoo in my hair and that's what fell out. It was a bad test. I was the test subject, you know. That's the problem. It turned out to be acid or something, you know. I don't want to be the test subject. Now, this idea is that I want something that's proven. I want something that's been tested on somebody else. I want crash test dummies for my car safety programs. I don't want to be the test subject anymore. And yet there's churches, there's religions that will start a new religion and they'll say, look, I'm sure it will be fine. We'll just go this new direction. We'll go this new route. I found these golden tablets. This is going to be great. I've got this new religion. God told me I had a sign from heaven. An angel told me I had a sign from heaven, and this is the new direction we're going to take. Now, if you're wise, I think we would say, you know what? I'd rather stick with something that's been proven a little bit longer than some dream you had. I'd rather stick with something that has a history behind it. And what Joshua is saying is, look, we've brought you out of the land of Egypt, and just like we've traveled for 40 years through this desert, just like, and we read the verses, he said, this is a testimony of how God brought us. Remember, Joshua and Caleb are the only ones alive at this point. They're the only ones old enough to remember the Red Sea. And he said, just like God brought us over the Red Sea, we have a history of watching God's miracles in our life. And our fathers got to see God split the Red Sea. That was a miraculous time. That was an incredible time that we have. These are our memories. But wait a minute. You know what we're witnessing today, Joshua says? We're witnessing a miracle for a whole new generation. And when those men carrying the ark placed their first foot in the Jordan River, and they watch the Jordan River recede. And it's like this invisible wall, and then the Jordan River kept flowing, and the Bible says it heaped up upon itself. And it just keeps growing and growing, and everybody's there watching the edge of the Jordan River, just this invisible wall, hold back the Jordan River. And then they get to cross on dry ground. It's like we've been waiting for this for 40 years. all of our parents and grandparents have died, and we're finally here. We're finally getting what God has promised us for generations. He's promised us dirt. He's promised us land, and he's giving this to us. And this is our miracle. This is our time where we can latch on. And Joshua says, look, don't lose this. Don't lose this. So when you're crossing the Jordan River, take one man from each tribe and take a rock and place the rock over on the banks. And so 12 men carried these rocks, and they would place these stones over on these rocks. And there's these huge stones that are here on the side of the Jordan River in Gilgal, where he said, let's place this up as a memorial. And look what he says the purpose of that is. In verse 21, we read it. When your children ask, you know, this isn't a normal, this isn't a natural pile of rocks. What's the deal here? When your children ask your fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Well, then let your children know, saying, Israel came over Jordan on this dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you till you were passed over. And here's the point of that, verse 24. That all the people of the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that it's mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. That ye might fear the Lord your God forever. You know what Joshua is saying? The God of my grandpa and my dad is the same God that is my God too. And the same God that brought the people over the Red Sea, you need to remember that he's your God too. And then you need to teach the next generation too, so that when they see this pile of rocks, when they see this, it's kind of abnormal. That's not a normal pile. Dad, what's the point of that pile? He says, that is your chance to recount to them the miracles that God did in your life so that they can follow the same God you followed. We're not talking about a God who only served your grandpa or a God who only served your father, but a God of this present generation. And what we're trying to get at is a God of future generations too. And there's a God who can serve you and who can serve your kids. So we're talking about raising your children in a way that they want to teach their children about the same God that you serve. And you serve a God with the same level of joy that your fathers have served. And you understand God in a way that God wants you to in the same way. What we're talking about is a God who is timeless, this God who is timeless and not constantly changing, not always different with each new era, but the same God of miracles is the same God that we constantly want to follow. And it's like Joshua was building a memorial. It's like when we were in Washington, D.C., we saw a memorial set up to the Marines or a memorial set up to Washington or these memorials that are these stone buildings that are set to say, don't forget history. Don't forget the past or else you're doomed to make the mistakes that they have made. The problem with being a test dummy is not that the thing is new, but it might be good, it might be bad. You just don't know. You just don't know if you're the test dummy, you're the one that they're testing it out on. New things aren't necessarily bad, but they're just untested. They're just unproven. There's just no history behind them. And so what we're talking about and what Joshua was talking about is saying, look, this is the God who took your fathers over the Red Sea. He's already been proven then, and I'm showing you that he's being proven today, and I want you to show your kids that he can be proven tomorrow as well. He's a God who's timeless, and he's the same God yesterday and today and forever. We've been given the faith, what Jude calls the faith. It's just these teachings that have not changed, these teachings that are concrete, they're set in stone. And what we're trying to do is pass those on to the next generation. What we do in church is try to pass on the faith to the next generation. Sunday school is focused on teaching the faith. Sunday mornings are focused on preaching the faith and gathering more toward the faith. And our Sunday services and the ministries of the church are anchoring people to the faith. They're trying to anchor people to the timeless word of God. And without this, we're just boats without an anchor that'll go sailing with every new wind. It may be new and trendy and exciting and fun, but it's not going to be good if it's not a path that's been anchored to Jesus Christ. Pastor mentioned that this morning, that there were times that Joshua in Joshua's day, even at the end of his life, he said, I'm going to set up this stone again, and I'm going to call people together and choose you this day whom ye will serve. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. And once again, at the end of his life, he made the same memorial, the same statement, the same promise to say, I'm going to serve God. And all the people around him said, yes, we will too. Pastor mentioned this morning that they did all in the days of Joshua and in the days of Joshua's family and the people that were close to him. But as soon as they were gone, everything that this memorial stood for kind of passed on the scene. So obviously something went wrong along the process. Obviously something didn't get passed to the next generation. Obviously there were some that didn't actually internalize it, didn't actually get it. And it's like, what can we do? How can we focus our lives on what is most important? And I think trips like what we just took are those ways of saying, look, the temporal things that we do in life, I'm talking about riding the metro and working a job and spending money to go eat food at a restaurant, all of those things have to be anchored into something that is bigger than us. We have to see the eternal in the temporal. We have to be able to notice God in all the little details of life. And I think at least part of that you saw through the testimonies of people saying, you know what, I never really saw crowds as, you know, they were always kind of annoying before, but now I just see crowds as souls and people going to hell if they die without Jesus Christ. And if that's the only thing that came from the trip, I think that's maybe the biggest thing that comes from these trips. We went and saw these men who are giving their lives to anchor people to the timeless word. In Brooklyn, we're talking about, you know, this unchurched area. There's 5 or 6 or 7 churches of any type. There's a couple of Lutheran churches with lesbian pastors down the street, and he named a Catholic church and a Southern Baptist church. And that was about it. Maybe 2 other churches in a neighborhood. They call their neighborhoods like we call our towns. Their neighborhoods are 80,000, 100,000, 120,000 people. They're just their neighborhoods, the size of Temecula and Marietta, with 5 churches, and only one of them a gospel-preaching church. The area of Queens, where the Open Door Bible Baptist Church is, like Brother Christian said, it never happens. They raised over $800,000 in support in buying their building and taking missionary support, have since turned it around to have given $1 million in missions over the time. Brother Mike Neuberger says that never happens, that never happens, that never happens in New York City. But you know what it is? A guy who's just stuck it out with the truth for 30 years, almost 30 years, saying, you know what? I'm not going to change. I'm going to raise my kids in New York City to be separated from the world, and they'll be different from the world. And we're going to be a little bit weird in New York City. They're right in the middle of the 2nd and the 3rd largest gay populations. San Francisco is the number 1 populated town. Just, I think, to the west of Queens is the 2nd largest, most populous gay community. And just to the east of them is the 3rd largest gay community. And they're right in the middle of just this hot spot of what we would just call the world. We think, how are you doing it? How are you doing it? He says, I don't have the answer, but I serve a God who's been good enough for my fathers, and he's been good enough for me for the past 30 years, and I'm proud to say that Pastor Montoro's son is an associate pastor at the church. He's done something right to see his son and his whole family. They're ministering right along with him, and it's like he's passing it on, and this church there is passionate about the truth, and that's wonderful. And people coming out of his church, the church in Bronx was sent out of the Open Door Bible Baptist Church. And he's starting a church there where there's no light. He says, I've walked down the street and there's 18 Pentecostal churches. There's 18 people that are meeting every Sunday. But I talked to these people and we had somebody visit our church. And I presented the gospel and he said, I've never heard that before. And he said, these people have grown up in church who have supposedly felt the Holy Spirit moving in their services and yet have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. For the millions of people there, we think, boy, they're destitute for the gospel. And yet all they're trying to do is take the faith to them, is take the scripture to them, is take the timeless God to them, the God who has the answers for everything that they need. It's like, why do we study the word? Why do we go on trips like this? Why do we visit places like that? Why do we support missionaries? Why do we go to the Church Planters Conference? Couldn't we use the Christmas offering for things around here at Calvary Baptist Church? Boy, the purpose of it is just to get our eyes off of our needs and onto the needs of the world, to say, this must perpetrate past me. This must perpetuate beyond me. If I serve a timeless God, this must go beyond me. I'm going to be anchored to something that's not changing, that's not different all the time. But in my life, I want to build these monuments. I want to build these things that are in my life that are holding strong, that are monuments that I can look to and say, that was the God that my father served. That was the God that I've seen do miracles in my life. And boy, that's the God I want my kids to serve someday. And not only do I want them to serve that God, I want my kids to teach their kids how to serve that God too. I want to teach them strong enough. I want them to be firm enough in the Word of God that they're so anchored in it that they're passionate about enough about it to pass it on to their kids too. I'm not just parenting right now. I'm grandparenting my son. I'm trying to raise grandchildren through my kids. And I think that's what Joshua was saying is, look, if this is a timeless God, if this is a God who will never change, the God who your grandpa served, the God who your dad served, this is a God of miracles for you today, but that can't stop with us today. That's what youth ministry is about. That's what these trips are about. That's what Christianity is about, is living beyond us and beyond what we can do. We're going to stand and have a short, that was just a simple thought from Joshua. We're going to sing 467, though, a simple concept in this song.